Go ahead and open up to Hebrews chapter 12. Glory to God. Well, how y'all doing after a week of church? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God forever. That was a good conference. Different. It was unique. I've never seen one like it. But I expect the conferences to be different, don't you? I expect them to change as we come into the revival. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I was asking the Lord again this morning, and He wants to continue on this same path. Again, the 8:30 services, these began when Dave started teaching us the born-again trail, because what would happen, the 10 o'clock service would, the Lord was so eager to help and heal and bless people that they, no matter how diligently Dave came out wanting to teach, the Holy Spirit would take the services and there would be miracles and healings and prophecies and words of encouragement and that type of thing. So He says, if we're ever going to get this taught, then we start the 8:30 service. And besides, you do know that if you have an 8:30 service, the people that are there are hungry. Hallelujah. So He started teaching us, and for, you know, down the born again trail. And again, I'm just doing a little review. I got to get our mind going down a certain path again. Let me just ask you again. How many of you have learned a few things going down the born again trail? Oh my God. And the Lord, He had to, He would never do this really, but He had to slap the religion out of us. What I mean by that is a lot of that old stuff we all grew up with, you're just an old sinner, saved by grace. You know, your heart is desperately wicked. I mean, I grew up with that. I felt bad before I went to church, and I felt worse when I went home. I mean, you know, just who do you think you are that God would use you at all type of thing? Well, so God had to take us down the born-again trail and begin showing us really, the way I summarize it, who we are, where we are really from, and why we are on planet Earth. Amen? Well, boy, we've learned some things. And really what it's all about, the born-again trail, I saw the end of it. I did too. I saw the end of it. You know that verse that we all sung about growing up in church and Sunday school about the mansions that are over there for us? That's really, that's not a real good translation of that word. What He's really talking about is the sonship that He's given us. It's the glory that He had, that He has given us. He says, I've made through this sacrifice, my Father has a room for you in His house to be occupied by His own children. Because I'm giving you the same relationship with Him that I have. Now, not as God. We're never going to be divinity. Forget that. Get it out of your mind forever. We're not ever going to be God. He's talking about in His humanity. Son, daughter of the living God. He has prepared a room for us in the Father's house. You're dismissed. Glory, was that good or what? Hallelujah. I mean, we had church right there. But then here recently, do y'all do know I didn't ask to preach these? I'll tell you the reason I'm here. I would whole lot rather be sitting where you are. The reason I'm doing what I'm doing is because Dave asked me to. And I am yielded to my pastor. Amen. How do you be exalted in the kingdom? You take the lowest seat. Started with us cleaning coffee stains off the carpet, which was only fair. I probably made most of them. Take the lowest seat. Anyway, moving on. Can't go there. That's another lesson. Well, so even going down the born-again trail, what if we come to full maturity? One thing for sure, when Jesus come up to the Jordan River to be baptized by John, you do realize it wasn't for the same reason all the other people were coming. He sure wasn't coming to have his sins washed away, was he? No, he wasn't. But when he came to be baptized by John, would you say that that is pretty much what you're seeing there, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, roughly 30 years old? Would you think his spirit had come to full maturity? We're watching the fully mature Son of the living God. But up to that moment, He Himself, even though He was fully mature, had never done one miracle, never opened one blind eye, never one lame person walked, nothing. Why? Because God gave us the new nature as our guide, like He had to give the old covenant the law as their guide. He didn't give us an external law written in tablets of stone. He gave us an internal law written in fleshly tables of the heart. That new nature is intended to keep you separate, holy, sanctified from the world, fit for the Master's use. That's why it says in Romans 8:14, those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That's not, I know in the King James that's a capital S, but it's not. It's not talking about the Holy Ghost there. He's talking about the new nature. And in the same way that Jesus, before He was ever baptized in the Holy Ghost, that nature, He was born with it. We weren't. That's why there's such a renewal. He is unique. He was born with that nature. He didn't live like I did 33 years being trained by sin nature. Didn't have to be retrained again. No, He was fully mature. That's what kept Him without sin. And when it comes to maturity in us, that's what keeps us without sin. And that's what Romans 8:14 is talking about. That new nature He gave us as we learn to yield to it. This is summary from last week. As we learn to yield to it. To the new nature He's talking about. Finally, let's say it in plain English. You finally, that conscience, and we're not talking about the, part you are obeying. We're talking about the part you're not obeying. Progressively, we say, yes, Lord. Bow the knee. Yield to that new nature. And as we do that, He says, the more you do that, the more you have become a mature son of God. And now again, getting back to Jesus, even as you come to that maturity like He was, still, that's not enough to bring the Father's will to planet Earth. It's enough to cause you to walk holy. It's enough to sanctify you and keep you separate from the world, all right? But that's not where the miracles come. He did no miracles until He was baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the molecule changer. He is the anointing of God. Again, I quote Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Say this after me. God has anointed me with the Holy Ghost. I go about doing good. And in the name of Jesus, healing all that are oppressed of the devil. For God is with me. Hallelujah. That's where He's bringing us now. That's where He's bringing us now. You'll be standing up saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I have come to announce to Long Island, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the good news. Poor, you don't have to be poor anymore. Blind, you don't have to be blind anymore. Lame, you can walk. Because He has anointed me with His Spirit. And I've come in Jesus' name to set the captives free. You're dismissed again. Glory to God. That's good stuff. Now, it's one thing to preach it. This is what Dave was saying as we started down the Born Again Trail. He said, Lord, these verses, the ones that we all love, and nobody would say you're a liar. The ones where you say, the works that I do, you're going to do them also. Lord, we know You said it. We believe You, Lord. We preach it, Lord. But going from the knowledge of those verses to the actual doing of those verses, Lord, that transformation seems to be longer than most of our lifetimes. Dave, am I a good student? Hallelujah. He's sitting right back there. I used to sweat BBs. I'm getting better. I just sweat little ones now, not as big as you. Used to be BBs the size of marbles. Glory to God. Well, that's exactly why the Lord took us down the born-again trail, because what he told Dave, he said, everything you've ever wanted to know, questions like that, they're all going to be answered on the born-again trail. When he's brought us now to that place where we're coming to the maturity, the understanding, I don't think anybody can convince you anymore that your nature has not changed. If you've digested those born-again trail tapes and really digested them, they can't convince you anymore. Let's say it this way, that you've still got a sin nature. You know better than that. Now, you're still wearing flesh that will sin, but you know at your core you've been born of the Spirit of the living God now. But that knowledge enough is not going to bring revival. Now what he's doing with these 8:30 classes with me anyway, he's saying, now I've got to teach you how to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. The same way Jesus learned to co-labor with the Holy Ghost. Always remember this. If you write anything down, I see some people with notepads, you got to get this. You, on planet Earth, are the agent of God's authority. You are the agent of authority. You know why that is, really? Because Jesus is the second man, the last Adam. And just like God gave dominion on the earth to the first Adam, to this last one, what did the last Adam say? All power, all authority, all dominion has been given unto me. When he died on that cross, he didn't really die as Jesus. It was Jesus that died, but he didn't die as Jesus. He died as Adam. The whole species. When he died, it was the end of the world. It was apocalypse. It was the last day for the species of Adam. And in the courts of heaven, the gavel came down and says, Adam is dead. That's why the Father spoke to the Son. Yes, sir. You're in Hebrews? Hold your place in 12, go to 1. Hebrews 1. You'll see exactly what God said to Jesus. When the gavel came down in heaven, and it was assured that the first Adam is now dead, in heaven the gavel came down, sentence has been carried out. My full judgment has been carried out, not upon Adam himself. This Jesus has come in Adam's place. But doesn't change the fact the gavel has come down. The first Adam is dead. Now God the Father says, I am free to assign that authority that I first gave to that original Adam. I am free now to reassign that authority to the last Adam. Who would be a good candidate to be this last Adam? Let's see. Here's my son, who at this moment is suffering in the bowels of the earth, but he has paid the price. He looks to him, and look in Hebrews 1 verse 8. No, got to back up a little. Verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, second time, he said that the first time in the womb of Mary. When he begot the son in the womb of Mary. This time he says, and again, the second time, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who make his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the son, he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. This is my son. Let him have dominion, both in heaven and in earth. And a new species was born, of which Jesus, quickened to life by those words, this day again, I have begotten thee. Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. It's a new species. This species is quickened from the dead spirits of men. And Jesus is the firstborn. those that believe some, there was a second born, a third born. I don't know where your number, I don't know where my number falls, but every one of us belong. You're not even of the species of the first Adam. Your body is, but your spirit is not. You're not even of that species. You're not even of that species. That's why when they say to you those words that I grew up with, listening to, this is why we had to go down the born again trail. Those men weren't trying to deceive me. They were just deceived. You know, garbage in, garbage out. They were taught wrong. They taught me wrong. When they quote from me words from the Old Testament, there's none righteous. No, not one, you know. If the heart of man is desperately wicked. That's all true, talking about the species of fallen Adam. That's all talking about the first Adam. That's why God had to put that species to death. And the second Adam had to be raised up, quickened from that. He entered into the death of the first Adam. I am the door. All of you dead people, you want to get out of this species and been born into another? I'm the door! I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's the only way to be quickened. Muhammad cannot give it to you. Buddha cannot give it to you. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's no way to have a room in my Father's house except to be born in my Father's family. And I am the only way that can happen for you. You're not in a religion, you're in a family. All of this and much more on the born again trail. This is just review. I haven't started teaching yet. This is review of the born again trail. Hallelujah. Boy, if you haven't found Hebrews 12 by now, your neighbor loves you, just look on them with them, okay? Because today I said, what do you want to talk about? What's the specific thing today? Well, it's all of these 830 ones that he's having me do. We may have a series called You and the Holy Ghost. I think that's what he's talking about. You and your walk with the Holy Ghost. Not Dave and his walk with the Holy Ghost. Not Gary and Sue and their walk with the Holy Ghost. You and your walk with the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus did not leave any of us as orphans. Now, orphans don't know their own way. They're left to have to find their own way because they have no one to guide them. Jesus specifically said, I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to send you another comforter just like me. He is going to lead you. He's going to take you by the hand and lead you into my perfect will for your life. Mary, this is good stuff. I'm telling you, I'm excited about it. Hebrews 12. And did you know Jesus? Here's a deep calleth unto deep. Jesus is alive. Oh my God. He is alive. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And He is head of the church. And you know what else? He speaks today. He speaks from heaven. Hebrews 12, look at this. Picking it up in verse 25. It says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that what? Do you notice how it doesn't say past tense, who spoke? It doesn't say if we refuse him who spoke from heaven. The denomination I grew up in loves God. I'd say the vast, vast majority of them is going to be in heaven. They do teach the cross accurately. And I've seen old, hard-drinking, gambling men who, you know, drink up their paycheck at the end of the week. I've seen those kind of guys go to the altar and get saved, become good family men, you know, raise their families, be delivered from alcohol and all of that. Praise God. But the one thing I never learned in that church, in fact, actually, they pretty well closed the door on ever hearing any present hour speaking from the living Jesus. They told me everything that he ever said was in that book in your lap. Just can't be. Let me show you why. Hold your place, and we may or may not come back to Hebrews. We've long since departed from the notes anyway, okay? So go to John somewhere. I'll tell you where when you get there. Yeah, here it is. John 16. See, they pretty well told me everything that you need to know is in the book. Listen, if you think, I hold the Bible in the highest regard. And every word in it is truth. But I have a living Jesus to follow. And my Lord is alive. And we're learning progressively how to hear his voice by the Holy Ghost. In John 16, Jesus was talking to his disciples, this whole passage really, 14, 15, 16. And he's trying to explain to them how their relationship with him is going to change. He's still going to be the Lord of their life. But they're going, well, if you're going to go to heaven and we're going to be still on earth, how in the world are we going to follow you? Well, he's explaining all that here by teaching them about this Comforter who was coming, the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost. Well, when this hit me, meditating through here one day, I shared this with Bronk first. I just happened to be at his church several years ago, and I shared it with him in his office before a service, and he just began to quake. And Bronk's a lifter. Can y'all tell I'm not? A long time ago, my apple became a pear. I'm trying to get the apple back, but it's a lot harder than it was when I was in my 30s. Anyway, but Bronk is strong. You know, he is still the champion weightlifter of Immokalee, Florida. You know, this is a big guy. He's tough, man. So if you say something that's so powerful that it penetrates all that, and he just begins to tremble, he literally, his hand began to shake. At the revelation, he went, oh my God, oh my God. And it affected him the same way it did me the first time I saw this. Jesus is talking to the 12. Now, how many of you would like to be hand-trained by Jesus for 3 years? Let me see your hands. I mean, I'm talking about the physical Jesus, where he'd have come and appear to you, and you could touch him and handle him like they did. Moses, would you like that? For benefit of the tape, I'm not talking hypothetically. Moses is in the building. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's here. Man named Moses. I love it. Moses, would you like that? Man, I would too, see. But these guys had been, they had walked with him. He had put his mantle on them. They had, I mean, I can't imagine what those campfire nights was like around on the trail in between cities after the ministry, and they're camping out along the trail. Boy, would you like to have heard some of those discussions? Man, I'd like to have sat around that campfire, you know. But even after that, after hand training these men for 3 years, look what he says to them here in John 16. He says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Why? They were not yet born again. He had told them, that's why nearly everything he ever said to them was parables or in natural form, things that a natural human can understand, you know. But he says, I have a lot of things that I'd like to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Now get this part, get this. That means he had never said them to him yet. Neither is he saying them to them now. The revelation that dawned on me, I said, oh my God, Bronk. I could memorize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But those things he wants to tell them are not in there. Whoa. They're not in there. Now, some of them are in the epistles. The epistles are written to new creatures. The epistles are written in Paul's letters and so forth. Some of those revelations are in there. But listen, he is your Lord, not just Paul's. He is your Lord. He has many things to say unto you. And you are able to bear them now. Now the problem is we've not been able to, the enemy has been successful at severing our communication lines with him who speaks from heaven. Anyway, I don't want to leave you there. Let's finish that up. He says, verse 12, I have yet many things to say and do, but you cannot bear them now. Well, how will we get them, Jesus? How will we get them? How will we know those things? Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. That means he's not come to be your Lord. He has come to bring you the Lordship of Christ. Because that's why he says here, whatsoever he hears, that shall he speak. Now get this. And he will show you things to come. LaRue has a wonderful series called Time Habitation. I've only been able to listen to one of them so far. It's been a busy week. How many of you know that? But I'm going to listen to the rest of them. God created time, and he is not bound by it. 1,000 years ago is today to him. 1,000,000 years from now is today to him. Our minds, our brains begin leaking right out our left ear if we think about that too much, because we are definitely finite creatures. But we're going to understand it. See, your spirit is created from that realm, not this realm. Your spirit is not bound by time. Your spirit had a beginning. It will have no end. Another lesson for another time. Well, you don't have to go back to Hebrews. Let me just quote it again for you. Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. Kuma. Speak, refuse not him that speaks from heaven. When Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, you don't have to turn there, but because we got just too much to cover. Chapter 12, verse 1, I believe it is. He says, I know that when you were just Gentiles, in other words, before you got born again, he says, you were going around to these dumb idols. The word dumb there doesn't mean they were stupid, although they were. I mean, he's talking about things carving, you know, idols made out of stone, you know, rocks and stuff. What he's saying is they can't speak. They're dumb. They can't say a word to you. Thank God Jesus is not some kind of dumb idol. Jesus is alive and well, and Jesus speaks from heaven. And he said right there, I'm sending you, I am not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I am going to send this Holy Spirit, and you are going to have access to my mind, Peter, James, John, Bernard, Michelle, Sue, Daisy. You're going to have access to my mind as though you were walking side by side with me on planet Earth. But you're going to have it by the Holy Spirit. When Peter, James, and John walked with Jesus, they could turn and ask him questions and receive answers. But the problem is, you did have to be where he was geographically. This is why God says this won't work. We've got to have something bigger than this. I will glorify my Son. He will be seated here in heaven. But the Holy Spirit is everywhere all at once. And what he hears in heaven, he will speak to my people. He intends for each and every one of us to walk as though you were walking shoulder to shoulder with Jesus. Is that good stuff or what? He's not some dumb idol. But the church has been hoodwinked and brainwashed to think that he is, that he doesn't speak from heaven. Again, I don't know why he's... I just have to trust that he's leading, okay? He'll give us what we need today. What message did he have me take to South Africa? Over and over and over again. I usually only had one service at many of these churches. At most, I'd have three. But usually just one. Well, if you only get to speak one time to people that are already born again, he already told me what that message is. You need to learn to hear from the Holy Ghost. And he would have me go to Acts, I believe it's 16, where Paul and Silas, I believe it was, they had finished their assignment and they're thinking about what to do next. And in their natural mind, there's lots of things they could do. They were thinking about going to Bithynia. They were thinking about going to Mysia. They were thinking about going to... And the Holy Ghost kept... They think about going to Asia. And the Holy Ghost reached... He said, no. No, refused. I mean, it didn't suggest either. It says, no, the Holy Ghost refused and disallowed, said no. And I went, wait a minute. They've got a... Because the Holy Ghost, Jesus already told us, he's not coming on his own authority. If he says no, it's because Jesus in heaven is saying no. And I got a revelation of that, and I said, my goodness, there is a leadership from the living Christ who speaks from heaven. And it comes by the Holy Ghost. Everywhere I went, I would, if I only had one service, that was what I would teach them. And I'm going, and then I'd try and get them baptized in the Holy Ghost. We got some. One whole church later, where I made them so mad. Hey, if you didn't make them sad, glad, or mad, you didn't do nothing. You know? This church had three pastors. One of them got so upset, right in the middle of my service, he didn't come up and take the microphone away, but he stood up, gathered up his things, very, you know, where everybody could see him, and just kind of walked out like, huh. I got an email later from a lady who was in that service. But see, the seed of God, the Word of God is the imperishable seed. It's the incorruptible seed. I got an email that I read to you later from a lady. That whole church, 6 months to a year later, I can't remember how long, that whole church became Spirit-filled. Even the one who walked out on me. All of them speaking in tongues now. And the church had to dissociate itself from the denomination that it was before. Now it's an independent charismatic church. Now it wasn't just me. I'm sure God sent a lot of guys in there. Seeds, man, we're just throwing seed, man. You know? But God got it done, didn't he? You can't be intimidated. Even if you're on the other side of the world. Amen? Got to preach the truth. Well, refuse not him who speaks from heaven. Yes, sir. All right, now I'm just still obeying. During, y'all know that we have this website, GaryCarpenter.org. One of the things that we have there now are what I call the face-to-face documents. They're there as examples for you. They are there for your edification. I left in quite a few embarrassing things on purpose. I want you to see how the Holy Spirit corrects us. I don't want you to be afraid. One time I was so exhilarated, I prayed for this lady, and I thought I had a word of knowledge. The Lord, I can't remember the details now, but basically I remember there was things like he showed me how many children she had, whether they were boys or girls. And I just don't know how. This is wonderful. Man, that was... And then I prayed, and I never know if it's a CD or not, you know. Courtesy drop. I never know whether it's or not. But it was wonderful. Later on in my prayer time, here comes the Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm just so happy. Man, this is a great thing. And the Holy Ghost said, that wasn't a word of knowledge. He said, you notice you didn't receive that information till you touched her? See, you received that information from her spirit, not mine. He says, I don't want you to learn. He says, many people operate by the power of familiar spirits, thinking it's the Holy Ghost. It's not wrong to touch people. At this stage now, in my maturity now, it's not the same. I've learned how not to let that happen. But at that time, he told me, he says, for this season, don't touch them until I tell you to touch them. I want you to just stand and receive from me what I want you to know. Say what I tell you to say. And pray what I tell you to pray. And he says, when you lay your hands on them, the power is going to be one way and one way only. That is from God through your spirit to them. Amen? Is that kind of training valuable to you guys? Do you know it's as available to you as it is to Dave Roberson? And certainly if Gary and Sue can hear it at all, happened again today. I asked Sue, we're praying, just, you know, getting ready for the service. And I said, there's a certain thing going to happen later today. And I asked her a financial question. I said, do you think it'd be okay if we gave, you know, if we did this certain financial thing? She said, yes. I said, The Lord told me about that last night. I forgot to mention it to you. So we usually do this. Hallelujah. Because it wasn't always this way. In the early, and then on the way she went, and you know what? It was the same amount that I heard. Same amount. Do it again. Because when we first started on this, we didn't usually, I mean, it was, maybe half the time we'd hear the same things, you know, like offering time. See, I'm not a, what's that old movie? Forrest Gump. Remember when he said, I'm not a real smart man, but I know what love is. Well, I'm not a real smart man, but I'm smart enough to know the Holy Ghost is not going to tell me to give a certain amount in the same offering and tell her to give a different amount. Now, I'm not a real smart man, but I can figure that part out. We're a husband and wife, and we got to learn to follow Him. And He's alive, and it's really, I say it from the Holy Ghost, but it's really the mind of Christ. He who speaks from heaven. In the early days, he'd be offering time, and we're training ourselves, we're learning. And so, you know, we already, ahead of time we knew. Now when Dave starts that, I'm going to listen, and you listen, and we'll compare notes. And we kind of, after the first time or two, and it wasn't the same at first. So we didn't really know what to do. I see people looking at each other going, we know about this. Well, in the early days, because we didn't know what else to do, we just made this decision. If we're going to miss it, we'd rather miss it on the high side. So, you know, if I heard $50 and she heard $100, then we'd give $100. Not on our credit card. I think this will be okay. There was a young... Boy, I mean, a lot of people have good intentions. We have good intentions. We've done a lot of not the most wise things, having good intentions. And in the early days, I wanted to give so bad, I was really tempted just to give on my credit card. One day the Holy Ghost got me. I mean, He'll get right in your business. He just said, why don't you just go ahead and run it up to $100,000? Just go ahead and give $100,000. That's about all you can borrow anyway. Then you won't have that option anymore, and I'll teach you how to give. I shared that with a young man this week who, by revelation knowledge, I knew he was doing it. And talked with him, and sure enough, he was. And I said, well, this is how the Holy Ghost got me out of it. And as soon as I told him that, he went, I'm free. I'm free. You know, just get it over with. Just go ahead and run it up to $100,000. That's probably all you can borrow anyway. Then you won't have that option. And then I can, you know, now you're a candidate to be trained how to give. Anyway, isn't the Holy Ghost something else? Hallelujah. Keeps taking me on these trails, but apparently they're important. Yes, sir. Kumasa. Let's talk about the only valid triumph again. I know you've heard this before. Yeah, I don't know how many times. How many of you, do we need to hear some things on the born-again trail more than once? In this particular face-to-face one called The Works of the Father, it's one of those at the website. By the way, if you don't have access to the website, just write our ministry. We'll send you a printed set. Or we'll send you the file. You can print your own set. We're trying to get the message out. Okay? Our tapes and everything we have, duplication is encouraged. You're saving us postage. Glory to God. Duplication is encouraged. Well, in this particular one called The Works of the Father, and again, it's there free for you, the Holy Spirit said this to me. He said, the enemy? He says, I hear you asking of me. What is the mindset of Christ Jesus concerning the enemy? Christ Jesus does not consider wars, pestilence, famine, disease, divisions, factions, greed, avarice, which I had to look up, by the way, witchcraft, murders, and the like, to be the finest work of the enemy. He sees all these things as being byproducts of the enemy's only valid triumph. All of these things are byproducts of the communication being severed between the mind, between the believer and the mind of Christ. Let me interject. So that you cannot hear Him who speaks from heaven. See, it's one thing to refuse him. That's what Paul was writing, the author of Hebrews. I think it was Paul. But he was saying, don't refuse him from speaks from heaven. But the enemy, he says, I'm going to get them where they can't hear. Or at least where they think they can't hear from him who speaks from heaven. Tim did probably in my mind, the most important thing that happened this past week were those two times where Tim had us take 15 minutes of silence, listen, and write. I was surprised how quickly I was able to hear the Holy Ghost. Be honest, at home, it usually takes me more time to get my mind quiet. But I'm finding out when there's a collective anointing like that, and this place here is very conducive for prayer anyway because there's angels stationed here. But I didn't want to embarrass anybody. I knew probably some people didn't write anything. Maybe there might have been a few. And I wouldn't have embarrassed it, but I so wanted to ask everybody. Just have everybody close their eyes so nobody be embarrassed. And just see how many were able to write. Boy, but I could tell just from looking around, the vast majority were hearing. And I'm going, we are on the right path. This is what, let me finish reading what the Lord said here. He said, and you know, this is what the Holy Ghost said, this is the only thing that Jesus considers being, that the enemy is a valid triumph. The thing that he's done that has worked the most to defeat the body of Christ. He says, all of these things are byproducts of the communication being severed between the believer and the mind of Christ. Now get this. You know this is true. There is no defeat where the mind of Christ is known and acted upon, says the Spirit of grace. You know that's true. Cancer is not going to beat you. Cancer is not going to beat your relatives. If the mind of Christ, if you can hear the instructions that comes from Him who sits on the throne in heaven, there is no defeat where the mind of Christ is known and acted upon. But by severing believers from fellowship and communion with the Comforter, the mind of Christ is seldom known. And where the mind of Christ is not known, the will of the Father cannot be performed. Every victory obtained by the enemy stems from a single root. That root being broken fellowship and lack of communion with the Spirit of Truth, the Comforter, who has been sent by the Father and the Son. All tragedy, all defeat, all terror, all division, and all works of death stem from this single root, says the Spirit of grace. It is inconceivable. Now that's what I've read to you before. We're going to go a little further this time. It is inconceivable to the mind of Christ that there would be any darkness in the Father's counsel at all. What does John say about God our Father? He is light. Was it James? Anyway, he is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. There is no defeat in the mind of Christ. As the Father sent him into the garden, so now the Son has sent his brethren, that's you, into the Father's garden to dress it, to keep it, and to restore all things to the Father's will. Defeat is never a viable thought in the mind of Christ Jesus. To even think that the Father would give counsel that resulted in defeat is unthinkable to him. Christ Jesus knows why he came. He knows the completeness of the victory he wrought over the evil one. And he comprehends the will of the Father to restore all things to the Father's original intent and purpose. He understands that every believer has been infused with his own life. He's still talking about you. The life that the Father's Spirit now anoints with dominion for those who will believe. It is unthinkable to Christ Jesus that the Father's will would ever be such that the enemy would be victorious after he himself suffered such great price to render the enemy harmless. As it is written, Christ Jesus is expecting until his enemies be made his footstool. In your life right now, the Lord is expecting you as the body of Christ, part of the body, that enemy that's been attacking you. What did he say? He is under your feet. And the only reason, if you're not winning right now, you're not hearing accurately from the Holy Ghost. Or if you're hearing him, you're not doing what he's telling you. So the mind of Christ Jesus for this hour and this day, the mind of Christ Jesus for this day and for this hour is that the message has come to maturity. It is his mind and it is the will of the Father that believers now learn to sit in the presence of the Comforter, who has been sent that they may be instructed and learn and grow thereby in the ways of the Spirit. As they mature and come to adulthood, they will begin to receive the instruction directly from the mind of Christ, which is the will of the Father. They'll receive it by the Spirit of the Father to go and to dress and keep the garden of God. He's talking about the human race here. Now I'm about to share with you a real treasure. I ought to take up an offering right now. I'm teasing. Now, I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands, and how many are glad about that? You're glad about that, aren't you? Because the question would be, how many of you have ever, and don't raise your hand, how many of you have ever had trouble receiving precise instructions? Don't raise your hands, from the Holy Spirit. See, one of the most common questions we get, even in these prayer lines, I need God's wisdom. I need God's wisdom. They don't know what to do. Don't know what to do. Does that sound like an orphan? Sounds like an orphan, doesn't it? I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what God wants me to do next. I could do this. I could do that. I could do this over here. I don't know what to do. Sounds like Paul and Silas. We could go to Asia. We could go to Bithynia. We could go to Mysia. We don't know where to go. We're like orphans. Well, I'm not going to have you raise your hands because I'm raising mine. I've had a lot of that. So one day while I'm praying, here comes my mentor, your mentor, the Holy Ghost. I really ought to take up an offering before I share this with you. It's just that Lynn's going, get on with it, all right? Here it is. I'm going to put Gary in front of this because he's obviously talking about me and not you. Gary, you're having difficulty receiving the instructions that come from the mind of Christ. I could have gone, In part because you're expecting them to come in a manner in which they shall not come. As I have spoken previously to you, when his instructions come, they come in such a manner that they release me to remove the burden from your shoulders. His instructions come in such a manner that the power of the Spirit of God is loosed to solve the problems. You're still expecting his instructions to come in a manner that will cause you to move. His instructions come in such a manner that they allow me to move, says the Spirit of Grace. Simply continue to sit and listen to my counsel, and you will receive these instructions. Well, let me share with you one of those. I have several. I'll tell you about the Korea again. I believe it was the second time I was there. And this time I had real specific instructions that Jin Ho Kim and his wife Sune, they are the ones that translated Dave's book into the Korean language. And they also have the rights from Rhema to translate Kenneth Hagin's books into Korean. Well, Dave's book and one of Kenneth Hagin's book were coming off the press at the same time. Kenneth Hagin's book was How to Be Led by the How to Follow God's Plan for Your Life. How many of you read that book? It's a great book. How to Follow God's Plan for Your Life. And that same day, Dave's book was coming off the press, The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. So he invited me to come and teach in the morning classes out of Dave's book and in the evening classes out of Kenneth Hagin's book. And it's amazing. As I restudied them again preparing, I was just amazed how those two books just dovetailed together. Now, Kenneth Hagin, his subject matter was broader. In other words, Dave gave a lot more detail concerning this one, the major aspect of praying in other tongues. But that aspect is definitely included in Kenneth Hagin's book. He talks several times in there about if you're going to follow God's plan for your life, you need to spend time praying in other tongues. Okay? So I was amazed at that. Now, so would you say I have my assignment? In the morning, you're going to teach out of Dave's book, and in the evening classes, you're going to teach out of. Okay? So I had my lessons prepared. I mean, that's a little different than here, you know. I mean, I know what I'm supposed to do. Well, it's one particular morning. Yes, sir. It's one particular morning. I've got my lesson prepared. I'm sitting there. And always at every service, I mean, you do understand they don't speak English. So there's a lot of stuff going on for like a half an hour, 45 minutes. I don't even know what's going on. I mean, every now and then when they're worshiping, I recognize Jesus, you know, in the song, all the rest of it. I recognize the melody. And during all the announcements and whatever he's saying up there, I don't know, you know, what's going on. So I'm listening. You know, I'm just not to him. I'm listening for the Holy Ghost, you know, to see if there's anything. This one particular morning, I mean, I have my lesson prepared. I only have so many mornings, and I'm supposed to teach this lesson if I'm going to teach through this book. And the Holy Ghost comes. I get an instruction from Him who speaks from heaven. And the Holy Ghost says, no, don't teach that lesson. Speak on Paul's thorn today. Now, my mind immediately runs through both books. No, Kenneth Hagin's book, because that's one I'm supposed to teach in the morning. I don't remember any lessons in that book about Paul's thorn, although I do understand Paul's thorn. And I'm going, Lord, that's not what I'm here for. Here I go. See, logic. I mean, Jinho asked me to teach out of this and that. I'm about to refuse him who speaks from heaven. So be honest with you, in my mind, because see, now, wouldn't you love it if every time the Holy Ghost talked, a trumpet blast came first? Incoming message from God. This is the Holy Ghost. Don't worry. This is really Jesus and not you. It doesn't come like that for me either. I wish it did. And nearly always you have the option of saying, that's just me. Or, you know, just throwing it aside. But thank God over time you learn the difference better and better. But I'm kind of sloughing it off. I just heard it, you know. I said, well, boy, man, that's not what Jinho asked me to do. So then, and Jinho's still up there doing, you know, saying Korean stuff. But he's starting to look my way now, so I know that he's starting to introduce me. Every now and then, Gary. Gary. So I know he's talking about me now, okay? You know? And he's looking. So I'm thinking, boy, it's getting close. And I hear it again. I hear the same thing again. Teach on Paul's thorn today. Man. And I wish I could tell you I'm just such a man of faith and power for the hour that I don't ever miss it and I don't ever throw it. I cast it off pretty much again. Till I'm walking up the steps. They have steps about like this, and I'm walking up on, you know, getting ready to go to the platform, and in the steps, this time I hear it this way. You gonna obey me or not? Yes, sir. And you know, I went ahead and told them what I was doing. I said I was going to teach a certain lesson. I was going to teach on chapter so-and-so today out of Dad Hagin's book. But I said if Dad Hagin was here himself, he'll tell you always follow the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost wants me to teach this lesson today, and I don't know why. So, I don't know what you know about Paul's thorn, the way I was taught it, and this is what I taught. I'm really summarizing because we're getting close. I was always taught growing up in a denominational church that Paul's thorn was just, you know, it could be sickness, it could be a death in the family, it could be just whatever. You know, they used to say that Paul had these runny, pussy eyes, you know. That was his thorn to bear and that kind of stuff. And so, and I'm being real nice with the word stuff. Anyway, Paul might use our vernacular for dung. But anyway, I mean, I said, that's what I grew up with. But I said, thank God for Pastor Dave, who taught us how to meditate the Word of God in whole images. It means what it means in the setting where it's given. You got to back up into the previous chapter. You got to go on. You got to ask the Holy Ghost to show you the beginning and the ending. It means what it means in that context. If we had time to teach it today, it's real easy what Paul's talking about. He says, for the abundance of my revelations, there was an assignment given to me, a messenger of hell, a messenger of Satan, sent to buffet me. What kind of buffeting? All you got to do is read it, what he's been saying up till now. Shipwrecked 3 times, beaten with rods, stoned, rejected, betrayed by brethren, perils of robbers, perils of thieves, all of this stuff. He said, everywhere I went, the devil was doing his best to stop me. That was the thorn. And God wasn't putting it, and they always used to teach me, you know, that it was God that put that thorn. No, that's this messenger of Satan. It tells you what it is. It's a devil sent to stop you. God was trying to exalt Paul's ministry all over the land so that the message of Christ could come and people could be saved. It's the enemy that sent that thorn. So I taught it. Took it a lot longer than that. Taught it really well. Line by line. Precept, just verse by verse. The Holy Ghost did a masterful job of laying it out for them. All right, we dismissed that service. People were leaving. I got to speed this up. There was 15 people that stayed behind. They began talking to Jinho, Korean again. I don't know what's going on. So he's looking at me and talking to them, looking at me and talking to them. Finally, he says, I'm going to go ahead and name it. You know, I'm just telling you what it was. He told me, he says, these 15 people are Baptists. And they heard about you, and they have traveled from another city, and they've been here all week for these meetings, and none of them had the Holy Ghost, but they wondered if maybe you could stay behind just for 20-30 minutes and talk with them, and maybe answer a few questions about the Holy Ghost. And I said, hey, I was raised Baptist myself. I probably know all those questions. So they started. So we did. They started asking me questions. They're all the questions I used to have. I mean, I said, oh yeah, I can show them in the Bible this, show them in the Bible that, not just take my word for it. I just laid it out for them, every question. You know what they said? They said, you know, we came because we know that faith is something that pleases God. And we knew that you and everyone, now all this is through an interpreter. We knew that you and Jinho and this church believes in speaking with tongues, and we thought, well, we'll put up with a little excess just to come and learn about faith. He says, but when you got up and you taught line by line, verse by verse, about that thorn in the flesh, Paul's thorn, we have all been taught it the old way, just like you. The way that you laid it out for us, we know that we've been taught wrong. So we talked among ourselves going, if we've been that wrong about Paul's thorn, perhaps we've been wrong about the praying in other tongues as well. Could you answer some questions for us that we could make a long story short? Within 30 minutes, 14 out of the 15 were speaking in other tongues. I left some information for the 15th one. I got a report back later. The 15th one got it too. Now, what if I had not obeyed the instructions that come, Gary? They are designed to release me to move. And by me obeying those instructions, the Holy Spirit was able to penetrate the veil of religion, tear that curtain down, reach into their mind, tear down some strongholds, and bring them the baptism in the Holy Ghost. 15 Baptists. In one service. One thing about Baptists, there's nothing scarier on planet Earth than a Holy Ghost filled Baptist. Hallelujah. I'm telling you what. Nothing more dangerous to the enemy than a Spirit filled Baptist. Glory to God. Can you see that? His instructions, I'll close with this. His instructions, he says, they come in such a manner that they release me to move. Says the Spirit of grace. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. We'll see you in 30 minutes.